Welcome to the season two of the Engineering Managers Podcast, and I remain your advocate, Nonso the King. And today we'll be talking about designing people to have experiences and designing experiences for people to have. Now, when we talk about this in software engineering space, it's almost seems like we are taking away the technicalities out of software engineering, but we are not. We should not forget that software engineers are still human beings, right? They have all the emotions that we human beings have, that every other human being has. They have desires and all of that. We understand that they're here to accomplish a task, right? Which is to help the business move forward, to accomplish business objectives or engineering objectives. But we also need to be a little bit more intentional about how or why we do things the way we do, the experiences that we try to create, how are we going about that. And the reason for this is because a lot of times we just allow things to happen, and we think because we have a defined culture, a defined vision, goals, missions, and all of that, and even a defined set of behaviors, we think it is enough to use that as a leverage for, you know, input people to act. But what I've also found as in my experience as an engineering manager is that the management creates the context for the engineering team. Really and truly, everything rises and falls on leadership. You see, you can define culture, you can define your vision, your mission, but if you do not have an engineering manager who understands that vision to really write it into the hearts of people, then that vision is going to be completely lost. You need somebody who is very creative about not just pointing to the wall and saying, that's the vision, that's the culture, that's the behavior that we're looking for. You need someone who is very intentional about designing those experiences, someone who's intentional about building a system that works for everyone, right? Regardless of whether or not you are a software engineer, and goes to bat for you, really. And people know this, right? People know this. So I want to go just step back a bit and talk about my father, who has worked in one organization for 30 plus years now. And a lot of times I think about, I haven't even worked half that long, and I mean, I can count the number of organizations that I've worked with, but it's also fascinating for me that possibly those experiences were not really orchestrated, right? And obviously the gig economy has become a thing where a lot of people assume that everybody wants to be, I don't know, a freelancer, wants to be out there, wants to work. But some other people want to really build. Really and truly, I've met people who want to help you build, right? They will be devoted to what you want to build if you know how to manage them well, right? And it is those people now that we do not want to lose, right? Because at a time, if we do not intentionally create experiences for them, the way, sorry to compare this to my own father, but the way his own experiences has been created now, he's a baby boomer, if you call him that, you know, who they had, you know, it was a time when pensions was being created and all of that. But one thing that was very instructive was the leadership trainings that he had to have. You know, he entered very young, and he's been there over 30 years, you know. And it was the intentionality of the experiences, and I want to call it the comprehensive experiences that was created for them, where you had to progress up the ladder, right? And this same thing applies to the military, right? You see where no matter how good you are as a pilot in the military, at some point, you must stop flying. You must become a squadron leader, you must become a wing commander. You must, as your rank goes higher and higher, you must stop from being a frontline fighter to being a war strategist, which is leadership. And what the military has intentionally done is to always put the trainings in front, right? So at the beginning, you are training with guns and ships and all of that, but later on in your career, guess what you're doing? You're training on strategy. You're training on thought. You're reading different literatures, philosophies, because you are now trying. They are now trying to intentionally make you into a war strategist, right? And now, obviously, you still don't lose your skill of how to fire guns and, you know, move tanks, you know, or fly planes or move ships if you're in the Navy. You still have all of those skills, but now you are becoming a war strategist rather than a warrior. I like that. So, but we haven't been that intentional in the software engineering space. We haven't been that intentional in the tech space. We just let people freely roam. And by letting people freely roam, what we've done is we've created a lot of seniors who are individual contributors. And a lot of individual contributors now have, you know, they feel shortchanged, right? Because they do not feel that they are progressing as much as they will, as they want to. And the reason for that is because one is that they are afraid of management or leadership as a whole, and they don't want to get it wrong, because if they get it wrong, well, they might be fired and all of that. Two, they don't know how to approach it because they have not been taught. And I'll just, now this might sound like a very silly example, but if you have a child, how long do you want your child to be in grade one? Maybe a year. If it goes to 2 years, you begin to get worried. Now think about this for a grown human being. How long do you want that human being to be in a particular spot? Right? Now, obviously, it will seem like, yes, this is their decision. But you never presented an alternative. You never told them that this is another possibility. Then when you present the possibility and they turn it down, you are now justified to saying, okay, you know what? We showed him this and he refused, and we are cool, we're fine. This is the path he wants to choose. But I'll tell you a lot more is everyone really, as life progresses, no matter who you are, what you want to be, what you want to do, you age. You know, as a matter of fact, you're going to age, you know. Days turn to night, night turn to day. So the way the world is wired, it is not wired for you to be stagnant in a particular role. And if you look at industries, just imagine if you were in the military and you were all warriors. There was no one who was a war strategist, right? There was no one who had the what do they call this now? Is the institutional knowledge. Nobody who has stayed long enough to garner that institutional knowledge and take that and lead with it, you know, and use that and even bring a fresh insight to the system, to that same system. Having seen the history now creates a new future for that system, for that place, right? We haven't been really intentional. We've let, now, because software engineering, you know, grew out of the waterfall model to agile, and then it just suddenly blossomed, you know, blew up, where you overnight you had tech startups with very crazy valuations. So that particular industry was not really curated. It wasn't really planned, and we didn't have the structure, the thoughts, the intentions that we needed to put in place for that system, for that people, you know. And then there was a lot of, you know, what you call the self-taught developers, and it was almost like, you know, you are self-made in becoming a developer, and that was all that mattered. And really, truly, that is all that would matter 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the line, right? But when you become skilled in your craft, what is next for you, right? And so, and the baffling part for me here becomes where companies now churn. There's a lot of churn in companies, and they are yet to trace that it could just be the fact that you're not raising enough leaders, right? For everyone of your seniors, right? Senior devs, senior engineers that express dissatisfaction is somebody who has the potential for leadership. Now, they may not look like it, but they can be trained. They can be shown the way. And if they are men like myself who have very big egos, right? Obviously, they are not going to ask for help. But you know what? They are going to appreciate help when they see it, when they get it, when they sense that this person cares. You know, this person cares. This person is showing me the ropes. This person is doing this thing intentionally to bring my attention to this, because their attention may not even be on it at all, right? So let's talk about designing experiences for people. Let's talk about designing people to have experiences. When people begin to see that organizations are very intentional about their growth, but not the organization themselves. Where I lead, I hate to use the company or my clout. And the reason for that is because it is very impersonal, right? And so when I have one-on-ones, I rarely, if there's any decision, I tell them it is my decision. If there is any, it must, because now it's a two-way thing, is I must be able to go to bat for all my engineers, and you know, that's to the senior management and all of that. And I must be able to represent the senior management to them, right? So we must come to that middle ground, that consensus, where they know that I have their best interest and I am not telling them something and using the company as the standard. I think for me, that is a major turnoff. I do not use it at all. I try my best to own that conversation, right? To own that interaction, to own it, to own that space, because I want that person to know that yes, it might be a decision from senior management, right? But I do not have to tell you this is senior management decision, it's not my decision, I can't do anything about it. Even I, as your manager, I raise my hands up and I said, no, there's nothing I can, nope, that doesn't work. You know, I must be intentional about that person that I'm speaking with. I must be intentional about their growth, their care, really about everything about them, right? Trying to understand them as a person. What are their hopes, their aspirations? Now, this takes a lot of time. It's not easy. It is not easy. I tell you that, bro. It is not easy. So, but it is possible, right? If you need to use a journal to jot down. And I don't mind, because now it's a very professional setting. I don't mind writing when people talk in front of me, because I know I can't hold all the information you are saying in my head, right? So I write when my boss is talking to me. I also write when I'm talking to someone who is my direct report. And the reason for that is because I can't hold everything in my head. But when somebody says something that is very striking, I put it down. I put it down on my notes to make sure that I refer back to it. I think about it. I think about how to design experiences for that person. If opportunities come up and things begin to happen in the organization, I remember that this person told me something. But if I want to keep it all in my head, I'm not good at remembering, right? So I put them down. So you can use your notes. Now, when we talk about designing experiences for people, it is not so much of a flamboyant experience like that, right? It is simple experiences, you know, simple experiences that you can put together. No too much thought needs to go. You just, honestly, you just really need to just care about the people that you work with. And I think the first view, if you were a manager of people, is to begin to see them as, I want to use this word carefully, leadership material, right? You need to begin to see them as people who can, one, lead themselves, two, lead others. And this is my greatest joy in every job and occupation that I want to work in, is I want to be able to raise a leader to replace myself. And maybe move ahead if there's an opportunity to move ahead. But if there is no opportunity to move ahead, I'm going to raise somebody to replace myself and possibly I'm going to exit the organization. Now, the reason for that is because everybody needs that chance, needs that guidance. And somehow, some people need hand-holding. So even when you lift them up to management, so you have a very senior engineer who becomes an engineering manager, you need to handhold that person for a while, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. But you say that person has grown. That person is going to grow in size and shape. Well, size and shape of heart, you know, mind, because he really has the technical skills. What he will now be looking for would be people skills. He will have a lot of questions around how to do one-on-ones, how to do this, how to do that. Now, so let's talk about designing experiences for people as an organization. Now, to design experience for people as an organization, this is what I'll suggest. Have periods where it is officially announced, right, for your senior engineers or whoever is interested. But now I'm talking to software engineers, right, to get on board a leadership part or a leadership mentorship or what I'll call a management / leadership trainee program. Now, does that mean they'll stop doing their jobs? No. Management leadership training program can just take, let's say, an hour a week, and it could last for 3 months. And essentially, it's just basically, depending on how large it is, you know, it could be a scheduled Zoom sessions or in-person sessions where you could bring somebody to talk for maybe 20 minutes and answer questions. But I think the most important thing in planning this is actually removing fears. Now, if the organization does not do this management trainee or leadership trainee, then it is now in the prerogative of whoever is in the leadership or management positions that has direct reports that work with them to begin to build them out, right? And the reason for this, especially for startups, is because the startup is going to grow, right? And at the point where the startup would start growing, whoever is a top boss, right, the CEO, is going to have a lot of responsibilities to worry about. And if he's not, or if he or she is not listening or creating leaders within the organization, at a point there's going to be a lot of gap from the person at the top and everything he has to worry about and everybody beneath, and that gap is going to keep widening, that at a point the organization might collapse. Now that's where co-founders come into play. But even at that, if it is just the co-founders who are thinking as leaders, the organization is in real trouble. And I kid you not, right? So there's a perspective that everyone in the leadership, in the startup, or even in very large organizations should begin to think as a leader, should begin to see everybody as a leadership material. You should be able to see, engage everybody's strengths and begin to bring them into that space where I can see you perform, right? You can do small things. You can begin to think. And one advantage for me is in doing this that I've seen personally is a lot of things I do no longer need to worry about. You know, you have people who turn up and own processes, who turn up and own change, who turn up and you're just, you know, at a point where you can sit down and fold your hands and really honestly smile from the bottom of your heart. You know, you can just honestly, when you look at who or how your team has become, you are honestly just proud of them all. You know, you are honestly just proud of who everyone is becoming. You are honestly proud of what they are doing, how they are growing, you know. And you can honestly just meet one of them and say, you know what, I'm really proud of you. Very honest statements. You know, you're not trying to do anything really, right? And these are the experiences you need to create. Now, so you can see for me now is in having done this is I have also benefited a lot, right? And the benefit for me is I've created experiences for myself that I have really enjoyed as a person, right? So in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right, where, you know, you have all of that, is people begin to stretch for the, you know, the upper hierarchies. I've forgotten what those hierarchies are. I think one there is self-actualization. And when you begin to talk about self-actualization, it's getting into that place where you can lead yourself and lead other people, right? And I think leadership is very important. I cannot stress this enough, you know, and where you have an organization where all the engineers are thinking as leaders, I think it is going to be the most powerful organization. It is going to be the most powerful organization. When the organization is growing, you do not need to recruit from outside. You know, you don't need to. You know that people can, the guys you're working with can really rise up to the challenge. You know that, and you honestly know that if you need people to work extra hours, right, you can convey that and they will understand. Not because you're the boss, not because you pay their salaries, not because they report to you, but because they really understand and they really want to support the vision. And there's a lot of things about culture and all of that, right, which is important. But let's not go into culture. I'll talk about culture in a bit of a depth later on, right? But this is not even about that. Is that they trust you and they care about you as a person, right? And you guys can have awesome experiences together. So for me, it would be, I also want to be in that kind of organization where I'm able to work 30 years. And the reason for that is because really and truly, what's the point moving around when if you can find all your joy in one? No, for real, what's the point? If you can find all your joy in one place, if you're satisfied with where you are and how you're growing in that place where you are, why would you want to move? Right? It's really, and people move because they are not satisfied. And I think the software industry, the tech space, has the shortest employment lifespan, if I should call it that. You know, employees churn at a rate that is really, really alarming. Right, and this podcast is just to help address part of the reasons why, having myself being a software engineer, right? So it's to help address part of those challenges, to make you see, to make you understand that it is possible to design experiences where people can work and be satisfied, where you don't need, I mean, people reach out to me and say, are you looking for a new challenge? But, you know, I can design an experience for people where they'll feel challenged. I can design an experience for people where everything they want is within that. I want to say the brick and mortar, but it's within that space. You know, you have full rights to express yourself. You have green view. And there is a way to really think and position these things in the minds of people in a way that would make it awesome. Right? So that's that about designing experience. It is very, very simple, and it is simply about you being intentional, about you caring, and about you really loving the people. And I'm intentionally using the word loving them, right? I know it's a corporate atmosphere and all of that, but you just need to care personally. You need to honestly love them, to also hold them accountable. So it's not all the, you know, it's not romantic love, no. It is that I love you enough to hold you accountable, and I love you enough to really build something awesome with you, right? And I think that is what every engineering manager wants out of their team, wants out of everyone that they work with, and wants everyone to feel satisfied, to feel fulfilled, to feel energized. You know, when you wake up, when you come to for stand up, you are, and for me that is, you know, when I listen to stand ups where I've led, and I, you know, people come to stand up with ideas and I'm blown away, and I'm like, somebody has been doing some research and thinking, you know. So Stand up, people pay. Now, stand up obviously go above 15 minutes and all of that. Now, there's, I'll talk about stand up some other time, right? Why is it being designed that way? Because we're a fully remote team, we need to interact, we need to. So, stand up is where we exchange. So, that's why we cannot do it async on Slack. No, it has to be physical. I have to hear your voice, we have to hear everybody's voice, and all of that. So, I'll talk about that later, you know, in designing. Well, it's still part of designing the experiences, right? But not just experiences, not the team experience, it's individual experience, right? So, but if it's a fully remote team, stand-up becomes important. Now, we know about autonomy and all of that, but just do what works for you. I don't want to go into talking about all of those other things, right? Because I still have episode 2, I'm going to talk about the art of autonomy, right? And its fallacies, right? But in me designing the stand-up the way it is was because it's a fully remote team and we need a way of just syncing up, of being social, right? If not, it's just going to be about tax and work. There will be no chit chat because it's remote. There is no way for me coming over your decks and, you know, tapping on the shoulder or something for us to have a chit chat or water cooler conversations or anything like that. So stand up is essential because that is a point where we also create an experience for ourselves, right? But it goes beyond that, where people think, like really, really think deeply about their tags and come up with solid researches during stand up. You know, so where they are, when they're talking about what they will do, you would see a depth that you as the manager of the team never thought about, and you are just quiet and deeply satisfied inside would be the word to use, right? So intentional design experiences for people, intentionally go to bat for them, intentionally do not use the senior management company or organization, whatever it is, do not use it. Be the voice of the organization, right? So it means you have ingested that and you are saying it as the authority, right? You're not, if it's a blame, if it's something that is not really good, you're not putting the blame on them, on the company organization. No, you're putting it on yourself. This is my decision, right? This is the ability to embody that decision, right? To own it, to own that conversation, right? To own that team, to own the deliverables, to just own the outcome, just own the entire space for yourself, by yourself, right? And I think that's really, 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 really powerful. All right, I'm going to end it here. Thank you for listening. Bye.